Well, what about some other things? You may have heard of some sui generis rights beyond copyright. This is stuff that's going on overseas where they are not as constrained by the prohibition on protecting facts and information. Again, they don't have, you know, many of those jurisdictions don't have kind of the First Amendment backstop against which they're competing. Because remember, the whole idea behind the exemption of facts and data and things like that from copyright is so that we don't prohibit the free flow of information. You know, if that's hard to understand what I'm talking about there, think about weather data. Weather data is one of my favorite things to use as an example when I talk about weather. I mean, the weather data exists on its own at all times in vast quantities, not all of which is recorded, right? The temperature at any given spot on the planet, whether it's raining or not, whether it's cloudy, all of those things can be encapsulated into data. They're information that can be encapsulated into data. And not all of it's been done, but some people have done a really good job of collecting very vast amounts of it. And you can go online and go to the Weather Channel website or weather.com or something and find the temperature in every city, in every country in the world, right? And so obviously there's a tremendous effort to collect that data, but it's out there. But it would be very odd if like the first person to take the temperature in Austin in the morning somehow was given an exclusive right to that information, right? It would stifle our ability to communicate about weather, right? Or if the person who figured out the hurricane was coming said, you know, I own that fact and no one else can tell people the hurricane's coming because I'm the one that discovered it. And that's the reason why the copyright statute goes to great pains to say that type of stuff's just not protectable, because there's a societal value in being able to freely discuss the weather or other factual things, you know, map instructions and geographic things, facts are very valuable for navigation and just simply not ownable. Even if you're the first person to identify them or to chart them out, you're not gonna get that ownership. And so the First Amendment very much pushes against any effort to protect or restrict, protect people who think they own that or restrict the dissemination of that type of information. And in Europe, it's not so much the case. Europe has, for example, you know, there are some EU directives we won't go into here, but that look at data more as a property, certainly view databases as properties beyond just like a compilation type of concept that we have in the US. And it's important to know that if you get into data deals outside of the US, there may be regulatory, statutory regimes that import more of a property-like status today than we have here. And so a lot of the stuff we're talking about in this presentation goes out the window if you're doing an international deal. But that's beyond the scope of what we're talking about today. So if it's not IP, how else can data be controlled? Can people claim they own data? Because so far, looking at the IP doctrines, no one is in a position to say they own data. Well, the answer is that, you know, lawyers and business people coming up against the shortcomings of natural IP law protection for data have decided that the best way to approximate that or mimic that is through contracts, right? And these are basically, you know, creating extra legal obligations and restrictions on people who are parties to those contracts that go beyond what someone's normal legal rights might be. And so, for example, if I possess a large amount of data because I've collected it or purchased it or whatever, and I, you know, you want access to that data, if I were to just turn it over to you, you in essence now have ownership of the data to the extent anyone does, just like I did. And in the data world, ownership usually ends up translating into possession, not true ownership, right? Because remember, they're facts which probably are not ownable under IP law, right? So possession becomes very important. You want them, I have it. If you could figure out some way to get it legally without me giving it to you, you're free to use it. Again, think weather data. If I want all the temperatures in the world in a data stream coming to me, I could go measure them myself, but I can't, you know, get them easily. But there are people who have that data, it's very valuable. So what do we do in that situation? We construct contractual relationships between us that can and almost always do prohibit the data recipient from letting the data go further, because if they let it go further, there are very little tools that the data possessor or the owner of that data can do to stop the further spread of the data out there by people who aren't in the contract. And so we call these data licenses. I think it's technically inaccurate, because, you know, license implies that you need legal permission to use IP. That's not really the case here. They're probably, you know, more properly thought about as, you know, access agreements or agreements for the provision of data that come with catches, right? And so it is completely okay under kind of freedom to contract doctrines for me to say, I'm going to give you this data, which is publicly ownable. It's not, you know, it's in the public domain. It's not really owned by anyone. But if I agree to give you my copy of it,